Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Well, we talked in the monologue a lot about what's happening in California, and there's even more fire activity growing this afternoon with zero containment. So every time you see something flash up on the screen, you got thousands of people that have fled Southern California and more fires popping up. Dave Murray, who has been with us a lot because of our snowstorms here in the Midwest, is someone who lives in that area. He's with us tonight on 97.1 FM Talk. First and foremost, are you safe?
Yes, yes. Okay, we live about an hour and 10 minutes south of L.A. L.A. County is primarily where all the fires are. They erupted. And just to give you a difference, here in Laguna, our max winds, and we've had a lot of wind, I won't fool you with that, but our max winds were about 45 miles per hour. Up in L.A. County, the max winds were 95 to 100 miles per hour.
Yeah, I misidentified where you live. I thought you were up near Malibu, but that's right. You're down south of
Malibu. No, Malibu is, having lived out here for a while, Malibu is like the fire capital of the world.
Right.
Just because of the way the canyons funnel right into Malibu.
So can you explain, just from a meteorological standpoint, first before we get to the fires, what's happening with these winds?
Okay, what causes this is the terrain. There's a variety of coastal terrain going up to some fairly high mountains in southern and central California, even northern California. What happens in this situation, and we kind of saw it coming almost 2 weeks ago, there's a low pressure system over the Baja of California. There's a high pressure system just off the Pacific coast. So we're getting this funneling effect of the circulation around the low, circulation around the high. That comes whipping down these mountains and basically the high deserts, and the air compresses, the wind speeds compress, they go faster, and they really go down the canyons. They find the canyon that's the easiest way. It's like water flowing down the mountain. That's the easiest way, and that's where all these fires get started, in the canyon. What starts them could be a power line coming down.
Right.
Could be as easy as somebody doing some chainsaw work and the chainsaw hits a rock, creates a spark. Yes, there's been absolutely no rain this winter in Southern California compared to last year, where we've had quite a bit in the year before that. And so this was a high wind, very dry vegetation, very dry atmosphere, relative humidity is like 5%. And that downslope effect creates these funneling winds, high-speed winds. You get a fire going, you can't stop it. You can't stop. The pictures that I've been seeing remind me of Maui, Lahaina, that fire. That's how fast it happened. And you know what? Maui had 80 to 90 mile-per-hour winds. It was caused by a power line coming down, and there's no water pressure. There's a lack of manpower. You can't fly the big tanker airplanes because the winds are so strong. The ground crews can't fight it because it's wild terrain. And so all they're really doing is watching these homes and businesses just go up in flames. People are actually fishing water out of their pools and their hot tubs to try to put out fires in buckets. It looks like a third world country right now. And I think there's going to be a lot of looking back on this, just like on Maui, of where did all this go wrong, right. and why have we allowed this to happen in the United States when it comes, you know, just blatantly? How did this happen?
And David, a lot of the folks out there, I'm hearing, they don't even have fire insurance because it became very expensive. So some people don't have that. So in know, multimillionaires, they might be able to rebuild homes, but they're not everyone's a multimillionaire.
That's true. And a lot of these homes are not these mega mansions and stuff. These are homes where people have lived in them for 20, 30, 40, even 50 years, family neighborhoods. And it's you're right. The insurance situation is almost at a critical point. Insurance companies are pulling out. All of a sudden, you'll just get a message like an email saying, oh, by the way, your insurance has just been canceled.
Right.
And just all of it. It's just not fire insurance. It's every ounce of insurance you might have on your home. It's gone. We're leaving. And then you go into this big pool of insurance possibilities through the state. And that's just nuts. That's just craziness.
So what is the forecast then for tonight? You know, one of the things that was really, I think, made an impression on me is I saw a couple of videos earlier today that had, you know, time-lapse photography from last night when these things started and just through the evening. And so you see how quickly they grew. But the winds, are they going to die down a little bit tonight? Are you going to get relief tomorrow or not?
Yes. It's a slow process. These red flag warnings, high wind warnings are all coming down in the next hour or two. And now it'll still be windy overnight, but nothing like last night. And the high point of the winds were yesterday afternoon, last night, up until about noontime today. The winds have been slowly pulling back. They'll continue to pull back tonight. Still breezy tomorrow, but nothing like LA County has seen in the last 24 hours. And then by Friday, it's almost back to dead calm.
Wow.
Oh, hey, Dave, can you smell smoke where you are? I know you're not really on it, but is it that sort of thing?
No, but I tell you, when we went to bed last night, phone was on. Luckily, we have a fire station that's less than two blocks away. They have a big intercom system. They do not hesitate to come down the street to tell you to get out. We were ready to get out. There was no sign of any fires around us last night at all. But you open up the windows and you kind of wait to smell the smoke. You really do.
Oh, man, that is scary. The footage we see, Dave, is it's just really fast moving, and flames are for some reason really doubly scary to see. They just eat up everything in the path.
Right. You know, when you picture, you know, just think of starting a fire, you know, you're burning some leaves or something, but you're doing it in 80 to 100 mile per hour wind.
Yeah, I was offering this analogy because Sue knows this, and I've been very careful because I had an incident with my fire pit where things got a little out of control a few years ago. My neighbor's like, hey, should we call 911? I'm like, no, I got it. But, you know, when I'm around the fire pit, sometimes there's brush or if I've done lawn work, and I take the leaf blower out there, and you can tell if you're just kind of using the leaf blower and somehow you point it toward the fire, you can. That's a little example of what would happen with a 100 mile an hour wind. It just takes that fire and it's an inferno. And what we're seeing in this video is stunning.
Yeah, the embers from the fire, from where the fire started, they can carry for miles in the atmosphere and then drop down on your roof or drop down in a dry field or whatever, and it just ignites. It just explodes. It's scary stuff.
Wow.
You know, in St. Louis we have tornadoes and thunderstorms and blizzards and all that stuff. Every place in this country has something that you don't really want.
And
in California, it's fires and earthquakes.
You know what, though? I will say this. We're all bitching about the snow, the cold, the ice. And I walked in today, and the first we had a security guard at the desk. I said, the first thing.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I says, you know what? You can't feel too bad because you still have your house and it wasn't burned, you know, into cinders.
That's right. So, that's, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And burns sometimes in like 2 or 3 minutes. Just right. Bang.
Man,
gone.
Man.
Devastating. All right, Dave. Hey, thank you so much for the update. We appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. Thanks, take care. That's Dave Murray, who is out there in California. I'm sorry. I kind of misidentified where he was. Sounded more dramatic when he was in Malibu, but he's down in Laguna Beach. But let me. So I'm going to play a little audio that I haven't heard yet, but I think we're going to want to hear it. But
okay.
Let me set it up a little bit. This is Rick Caruso. Rick Caruso is on Fox. Rick Caruso ran for mayor of Los Angeles against Karen Bass a couple years ago. He lost. And he, my understanding is he lost a home. His home in Pacific Palisades was lost. But here's what he said. He's kind of pointing toward the failure of leadership, et cetera.
It does look like a third world country. The devastation up in the Palisades area is so widespread. Most of the downtown is completely gone. Whole sections of neighborhoods are gone, schools, churches. One of the things you reported was the lack of water and fire hydrants. I think there's a lot of tough questions that need to be asked on how it happened. Was the city adequately prepared? Knew the high winds were coming in? The brush clearance in this area has not happened for decades. So although it started in a neighborhood, it quickly moved into the brush in the hills that are controlled by the city, the county, and the state. And it provided an enormous amount of fuel and just took off. We really need to hold leadership responsible. Ask what they did and find out what they did wrong and hold people accountable.
Okay. Now, I have not heard what I'm about to play because I had to send it to Ethan and I found it when I was doing the end of the interview with Corey DeAngelis. But this is an anchor in Los Angeles by the name of Melvin Robert who tries to point some things out about what Rick Caruso is talking about. And I'm not sure it goes well for him, but let's find out.
The real issue to me is twofold. We've had decades to go remove the brush in these hills that spread so quickly. And the second is, you got to have water. And my understanding is the reservoir was not refilled in time and in a timely manner to keep the hydrants going.
All right, that's Caruso.
It's a failure, whether on DWP's part or another city agency. But this is basic stuff. This isn't high science here. And it's all about leadership and management that we're seeing a failure of. And all of these residents are paying the ultimate price for that.
Despite what you have heard from Caruso, no firefighters have told us that they are running out of water.
And let's go out to Gigi Graciette. She is live in Pacific Palisades. I know your signal's not the best, but Gigi, what can you tell us?
Well, firefighters have told me they have no water on this block, and you may be able to make out the ember storm that we're in the middle of right now.
Yeah, so the anchor, yeah. Melvin Roberts, goes on to try to, the African-American anchor, by the way, tries to protect Karen Bass and the leadership, and then the reporter, 10 seconds later, says, hey, Melvin, you dipwad. No, they don't have water. Here's Adam Carolla. This goes back a while, okay? But he's telling the story about how he wanted to be a firefighter. Listen to this.
I want to talk about my white privilege so badly. I graduated North Hollywood High with a 1.7 GPA. I could not find a job. I walked to a fire station in North Hollywood. I was 19. I was living in the garage of my family home. My mom was on welfare and food stamps. And I said, can I get a job as a fireman? And they said, no, because you're not black, Hispanic, or a woman. We'll see in about 7 years. And I went to a construction site and dug ditches and picked up garbage for the next 7 years. I got a letter in the mail sent to my father's house saying, your time has come to do the written exam for the LA Fire Department. I took it and I was standing in line and I had a young woman of color standing behind me in line. And I said, just out of curiosity, when did you sign up to become a fireman? Because I did it, or a person, 7 years ago. And she said, Wednesday. That is an example of my white privilege.
So that he's 60 years old. Okay, so that story goes back 40 years. But think about, this has been exacerbated. And ladies and gentlemen, now I'm going to not spend a lot of time and focus on DEI in the Los Angeles County Fire Department, but it's pretty stunning when you start to find out that the LGBTQ plus chief wanted to hire only Alphabet Mafia and diverse people. They cut the budget by $17 million. It's disgusting. And then throw in the fact that Gavin Newsom and Adam Schiff and all these boneheads, they've spent $3 billion on light rail. $3 billion.
Oh, my gosh.
They've spent hundreds of millions on all this DEI stuff. How about maybe sucking some water from another part of the country or trying to protect the people who are taxpayers out there because you have, you know, potential devastating fires and earthquakes, et cetera. Because I know that they want to change the climate and everyone's going to blame climate change, which is a bunch of crap, by the way, especially considering the fact that this was started in a residential area. Yeah, we're going to, Mother Nature's going to have some high winds and stuff like that. But, you know, you can't blame climate change on everything, even though they try to. But in the aftermath of this, Dave's right. There's going to be a lot of questions that are going to be asked, and hopefully they'll be answered.
And, you know, when they were talking about that brush, which I hadn't realized was such a story, this is remarkably reminiscent of the Hawaii fire.
Oh, yeah. It's just exactly like that, because it whipped through, although it's on a much grander scale.
Yeah.
Much, much bigger scale. The fires continue to break out. There's, well, listen to the fire chief in L.A. I mean, we can talk about her Alphabet Mafia stuff, but
these fires are stretching the capacity of emergency services to their maximum limits. Our department has responded to 3,624 911 calls for service. And to put that in perspective, our average is just under 1,500 calls in a 24-hour period.
And of course, then you got looters and idiots like that out there. This is a guy who's a photographer. Look, I've seen a couple of things. Like, there was this video that was on Fox earlier. And Sue, I swear, I thought it had to be a remote camera. Someone was sitting somewhere else. They're operating a camera because they're going back and forth, panning from this home in Pacific Palisades. The flames are outside. They look like they're about to jump into the house. He's got his dog in there, and he's like, oh, you're going to be okay, telling the dog that. And he's filming,
what?
And he's not, you know, getting out of the house. So that was nuts. But here's a photographer. Some guy is trying to put, you know, water from his garden hose on the house.
You're not going to be able to put that out. Hey, that's not going to do anything. I don't want you to get burned, man.
The guy is just trying to put it out, basically saying, no, you need to get out of here. The garden hose is not going to do the trick. But some of the audio of the video is stunning, but the audio that's emerging from some of this really is quite incredible.
It's beyond anything I think any of us could have ever imagined. It looks like we're in a third world country.
There goes the front wall of that home.
It is like driving through hell itself down here. Literally through hell.
The fire is growing. We have no percentage of containment.
Brother, you good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only good news is that only five people have been killed, but that number has grown throughout the afternoon, and these fires are continuing to grow out of control. We're going to keep you posted. We have audio cut of the day coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.